Hey, Smutters.
What up, party people? And by party people, I mean, what up, everybody? Sitting in your house, freezing your ass off, curled up in blankets because it's literally 5 degrees outside.
Are you talking about me?
No.
Oh.
And you know, the thing is, like I get it. Places are cold. I understand. But we live in Tennessee. We're not used to cold like this.
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't want to move. I don't want to go outside.
No, we stayed in bed all day.
Yeah, like, it's horrible. Like, temperatures are supposed to rise to, like, 50 and 60s after tomorrow, I think. But, like, it's just crazy to me being this cold here.
Yeah. It hasn't done that in a long, long time. And yeah. Schools have been out for, like, a week. I don't know why.
Well, I was looking, and actually there are other parts of the county where we live
mm-hmm.
where some stuff hasn't been solved. I've seen roads people posted on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and literally they're like 3 or 4 inches of ice all the way down the road.
Seriously?
Yeah. So, like, when I was looking at some of the stuff from the school today, they're like, we'll try to figure out a way to, like, have a drop-off place for your kids, but there's no way I'd risk it. Like, if I lived in, like, that was on our road, there's no way I'd try to take Ashlyn to school.
No. That's just scary.
Not to mention, she doesn't learn anything anyways. She thinks the color red is 3.
Oh, my goodness. She told me her GPA the other day.
Oh, God.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, wow.
What?
The Chinese New Year Festival's coming.
Oh, cool.
In
Collegedale. That's weird. Okay. So, have you seen anything weird happen or anything?
Mm-mm.
Well, I read something kind of neat today. And I told
since you've been in bed all day?
Yeah, since I've been in bed. I told you about it, but I really don't think you were listening. But it was Napoleon...
Dynamite?
No. Napoleon spent the night in the pyramid, the big pyramid of Giza. And he did that because Alexander the Great did it, and then Julius Caesar did it, and they were great war leaders, so Napoleon wanted to do it.
Hey, follow me. Is this real? It says an 800-year-old hidden carving at All Saints Church was revealed when new construction happened on a restaurant.
Okay.
Look at the carving.
They're showing their asshole. What?
What the hell? And look at the little penis and balls.
Oh my God. Anyway, so basically he wanted to stay there because they were great war leaders or whatever. And he thought maybe that it would help him. So he did. And when he came, he stayed for like 7 hours until the sun rose. And when he came out, he told his men, if I told you what happened, you would never believe me. And he refused to talk about it
really?
For like the rest of his life. Now, I'm sure the pyramids are haunted. I've just never like thought about it, you know?
I mean, yeah, it makes sense.
It makes sense. I just wonder what he saw. Like what? What would you do in there the whole time, you know? Anyway.
I don't know. I think it would be cool to spend some time in something like that.
Just I do, too.
I mean, every little square inch of those places are just cool as shit.
Yeah.
Like, do you see that thing I seen on Facebook not too long ago where it was the 360 view of one of the crypts?
Yes.
So, and I was looking at that before I sent it to you. Like, you know, there's all these walls, you know, all around, the mm-hmm. dirt on the floor and stuff. I zoomed in on just, like, one wall.
The hieroglyphics and stuff?
Well, no. Like, on one wall, like, not even an important wall, and just the engravings and all the stuff that was on it, like, it had to take forever. Well, unless, you know, like, Superman did it with his laser vision or aliens. But it was, like, it's so cool. I would actually do that. I would stay down there for a while.
I think it would be very cool, and I would love to see all that. That's, like, one of my bucket list things is... seeing the pyramids. I've always loved Egypt. Just, it's amazing to me. And I think that the Egyptians were just geniuses and I'd really like to see him one day. But
I know that, you know, there's a lot of stuff going around about it, about how it was done, precise cuttings and things like that. But, you know, besides all of who really did all that, whether it was them or aliens, just that and the other, it's still, like, even today's times, hard to replicate that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I would love to see it. But I've also seen the videos of
what's across the street from
and
it.
What they're not supposed to see. And
yeah,
stuff
like the Pizza Hut you were telling me about. Okay, so tonight we are doing another haunted ritual.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
And we did this one before, but it was like our second episode and I deleted it because the audio was terrible and we were new and it was just kind of bad. So,
oh, there is something interesting I wanted to read real quick.
What?
So, I don't know if you heard about it. I hadn't sent it to you, but there's supposed to be like billions of cicadas emerging this spring.
Oh.
Okay, and so like, it's weird because I don't know how they predict this or whatever, but here's the article real quick. It says, this spring, two different broods of cicadas, one that lives on a 13-year cycle and the other that lives on a 17-year cycle, will emerge at the same time from underground in a rare synchronized event that the last time it occurred was in 1803.
Okay.
1803. Billions of winged insects will make an appearance across the Midwest and Southeast, which is us.
Great.
Beginning in some places in late April, and a something mating ritual that tends to inspire fascination and annoyance. This year's dual emergence is a once-in-a-lifetime event. After 2024, these will not sync up their emergences again for another 221 years.
Are cicadas those things that make that noise?
Yes, that
loud. Oh, I hate that.
But see, here's my thing, though. Like, it's kind of cool. Hadn't happened in 200-some-odd years. But how do people predict this type of stuff? And how do they know that these cicadas were there 200 years ago and now they're about to come out again?
Science.
I guess. Anyway, sorry.
No, like, I guess that's really cool. I'm not excited about it because I hate those things.
Yeah.
Because that's when you know. I think for me in the summertime, like when you'd start to hear them and pay attention to them, it was close to time to go home. You know? That's when like the streetlights were about to come on.
Well, evidently, it's about to get really crazy this spring and summer with them.
Ew, I bet people are going to be like, it's a sign of the times.
Remember that gas station that they filmed a couple times? It's been on Instagram and TikTok where that gas station is covered in them.
Yes.
That's probably what it's going to be like.
That's disgusting.
Right?
Oh, my God. I will not leave the house. That's gross. I can't. Anyway.
Sorry.
Get ready, friends. So, as I said, we're doing another haunted ritual tonight. What is happening right now?
What?
There it is.
What is happening?
What's happening, hot stuff? We are doing the Midnight Game. And the reason I did another haunted ritual is that I noticed on TikTok, where we had posted the...
Pause 1 second. Let me show you this. Look at that. You ever seen anything like that?
That's not real. That's one of those diving things. I've seen that before.
Okay, whatever. Whatever floats your boat.
It really is because, you know, like, guys, when there's new divers and they go to get their license, because Troy and I are scuba divers, there's certain places you can go to get your license, like quarries and stuff like that, because there's one near us where they take them and there's like a Jason Voorhees at the bottom of the lake. They've got a shark that looks identical to that that's at the bottom of one of the lakes that they take new divers to, which would tear, that would make me not want to dive anymore if I saw that, you know? But
one other fun fact for you real quick.
What?
Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of Amazon.
Okay.
He made over $7.9 million an hour, every hour last year.
Every time I hear Jeff Bezos, I think of South Park. That's like how I found out who that was South Park.
Wow.
Okay. So yeah, I noticed on TikTok the last time I posted the instructions to one of our creepy rituals that it was saved, which means y'all are trying it. So here's the thing. If you guys are trying it, let us know. I want to know what happens if these games are real. So let us know if you're saving it and doing it, because I'm dying to find out, because I will not do it. Troy will not do it. So y'all are crazy brave or just craziness, and let us know. So as I said, tonight we're doing the Midnight Game. I don't know if you'll remember this one. You may not, but it was like our very first haunted ritual that we did.
I've got a piece of advice for everybody real quick.
What?
If there's any girls out there named Lana, and someone throws you a party, and they have balloons that spells out your name, don't put it in the window.
Okay.
You want to know why?
Because it spells anal backwards. There you go. Okay.
Okay, I'll leave you alone.
Okay. So, let's dive on in. So I've got like two stories about this game after we go over the rules. So the Midnight Game is an old pagan ritual used mainly as punishment for those who had broken the laws of the pagan religion in question. While it was mainly used as a scare tactic to not disobey the gods, there is still a very existent chance of death to those who play the Midnight Game. There's an even higher chance of permanent mental scarring. It is highly recommended that you do not play the Midnight Game. However, for those few thrill seekers searching for a rush, or for those delving into obscure occult rituals, these are simple instructions on how to play, but do so at your own risk. Prerequisites. It must be exactly 12 a.m. when you begin performing the ritual. Otherwise, it will not work. What you will need. You will need a candle, a piece of paper, a writing implement, matches or a lighter, salt, a wooden door, and at least one drop of your own blood.
Uh-oh.
Exactly. I'm going to pause there. If a game calls for blood, don't do it, y'all. Okay? Just don't. That just seems evil in itself, right?
Right.
If you're playing with multiple people, they will need their own set of the materials, and they will have to perform the steps below accordingly. Step one. Write your full name first, middle, and last on the piece of paper. Put at least one drop of blood on the paper and allow it to soak in. Turn off all the lights in the place you're doing this. Go to your wooden door and place the paper with your name on it in front of the door. Now, take out the candle and light it. Place it on top of the paper. Next, knock on the door 22 times. 22 times.
You better be paying some rent.
I would lose count. The hour must be 12 a.m. upon the final knock. Then open the door, blow out the candle, and close the door. You have just allowed the Midnight Man to enter your house.
Midnight Man. Oops, I didn't mean to send that to you.
What did you just send me? That?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to send it to your kid.
Okay. Immediately relight your candle. This is where the game begins. You must now lurk around your now completely dark house with the lit candle in your hand. Your goal is to avoid the Midnight Man at all costs until 3:33 a.m. Should your candle ever go out, that means that the Midnight Man is near you. You must relight your candle in the next 10 seconds. If you are not successful in doing this, you must then immediately surround yourself in a circle of salt. If you are unsuccessful in both of your actions, the Midnight Man will create a hallucination of your greatest fear and rip out your organs one by one.
Damn. Who wants to try that?
Exactly. You will feel it, but you won't be able to react. If you're successful in creating the circle of salt, you must remain in there until 3:33 a.m. If you are successful in relighting your candle, you can proceed with the game. You must continue to 3:33 a.m. without being attacked by the Midnight Man or being trapped inside the circle of salt to win the midnight game. The Midnight Man will leave your house at 3:33 a.m. and you will be safe to proceed with your morning. Addition. Indications that you're near the Midnight Man will include sudden drops in temperature, seeing a pure black humanoid figure through the darkness, and hearing very soft whispering coming from an indiscernible source. If you experience any of these, it is advised that you leave the area to avoid the Midnight Man. Now, do not turn any of the lights on during the midnight game. Do not use a flashlight during the midnight game. Do not go to sleep during the midnight game. Do not attempt to use another person's blood on your name. Do not use a lighter as a substitute for a candle. It will not work. And definitely, do not attempt to provoke the Midnight Man in any way. Even when the game is over, he will always be watching you. And those are the rules.
Nope.
Okay. I found a couple stories about it. As always, just to let y'all know how serious this game is. Let's see. Let me get to... Okay. So, of course, I got my stories from Reddit because Reddit is like my most favorite thing ever. I love Reddit. I, like most generic Redditors, don't have any belief in the supernatural, and I like to test little things like this as a way of amusing myself. And until this weekend, I've had zero respect for anything of the sort. I come into this sub to read creepypasta, but I'd never had a genuine paranormal experience to the best of my knowledge. Just this past Friday, I remembered suddenly when my friend told me about the midnight game. Since I wouldn't have an opportune time to do this otherwise, as I live with my mother and she'd been spending the night often at my grandparents' house to help care for them, I call Ryan up and ask if he's still in, which he replies, and this is verbatim, "Shit fucking yeah." I've been waiting for this call. Splendid. My friend, who will call Ron because his name is Ron, picks up two giant-ass Morton salt shakers on the way over at around 10. All right. Ryan is basically the same as me, smart-ass-ish about things like this, but still a little apprehensive of the dark, and as he admitted when he told me about it, he would never do this on his own, but would totally if someone else did it with him. So before I continue... I figure I'll give you a picture of the house interior, which we're not going to go over that. So, if you don't want to look or don't care to, that's fine for the most part, but I have to draw your attention to the two photos in my back room. While that room was definitely a mess before we played the game, it wasn't nearly like that. The back room, called a Florida room, is basically a quarter of the house's square footage, so we naturally wanted to include it so we would have as much space as possible. I'll explain how it got to be the absolute wreck it is now, as I now go through the chronology of the night. All the times are roughly accurate, and I was wearing an analog watch and could check it every so often, so here we go. 11:55 p.m. Ryan and I are getting our materials ready so we can write, prick, and knock all in the allotted time span. Ryan suggests that we throw the fuse, since turning the lights on means losing the game, but I don't really feel comfortable with fumbling around with all that. We just need to be disciplined about not turning anything with power on, and we'll be good. 11:59 to 12 a.m. We execute our name cards really well, and I end up doing the honor of the knocking. Ryan helps me synchronize the knocks, and I get it right on the dot. We blow out our candles and re-enter, lighting them again. As soon as we both have the things lit, Ryan lets out an ooh, and we both laugh and relax a little. 12 a.m. to 12:45 a.m. You're supposed to move around or the Midnight Man is able to find you or something. So we creep slowly, tracing the wall and staying in the more open rooms. We start going towards my bedroom, but Ryan says he feels like it would be too cramped. Both of our candles are doing just fine. And as Florida nights are this time of year, the house is as hot as expected. As we walked around, we talk and joke a little bit, though we were definitely both nervous to some degree. 12:45 to 12:55 a.m. Ryan asked me if we're allowed to eat during the game. I actually didn't have a clue and told him to go for it if he can avoid opening the fridge since the lot would disqualify us from the game. I actually don't know what he ate because I forgot to ask and was distracted, but what he said when he came back in the living room. With a full mouth, he says, "When is the Night Man supposed to arrive?" And I wish he hadn't said that because I reply with, "Night Man? That's." And in that moment, I regret more than anything. I began to sing, "Day Man, champion of the Night Man." I don't know what he's singing, y'all. Ron chimes in. In an instance, both of us are singing "The Night Man Cometh" from "It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia." Oh. Doing that was the single most stupidest thing I did because the night was not the same from that point on. Basically, it sounds like they pissed him off. 12:58. The only reason I remember the exact time is that I was looking at my watch by candlelight when the fucker just went out. I didn't think I could panic like such a little girl, and I quickly relit it no more than 5 seconds. Shit, that was close. Ron looks at me silently. He makes a weird face and I ask him what's wrong. "What did you say?" he asked me. And I repeat myself. I said, "Shit, that was close." And he waves his hand and says, no, I heard that. "What did you start to say right after that?" Apparently, he heard me whispering words immediately following what I'd said. We move over towards the bathroom and the hallway pretty quickly. 1:25 a.m. We've been walking around slowly, but with a bit more purpose than before. No more joking around. Not much talking between us, except necessary communication. We both felt a little more humbled than we had when we started. We both start to go for my bedroom and towards my mom's room, and that's when I look to the right into the hallway bathroom. There's a fucking figure standing in the tub, part obscured by the drawn curtain. Our candles remain... I've got chills right now. Our candles remain intact, so I grab Ryan's shirt firmly and speed walk towards the kitchen. Ryan didn't even ask me what was going on. Once we got to the far end of the kitchen, I asked him if he saw it too, and he did. At this point, Ryan asked me if there was anything in the rules that let you opt out of the game. He really didn't want to continue, but he was too scared to turn on the lights and find out what happened from there, so he continued with me. I don't know what I would have done if he left. 1:40 a.m. We're staying in the kitchen and garage area, going back and forth between them, and I'm basically holding my breath whenever we go through a threshold, since I just expect to see him there. Things seem to calm down a bit until at around this time I realize something horrible. "Ryan," I ask, "where's the salt that you bought?" I didn't ask him because I didn't know, but because I didn't want to have to say it. He answered just as I thought he would. "Your bedroom." Damn it. We talk it over for a minute and basically conclude that we absolutely need the salt if things go wrong. We start towards my room. 1:45 a.m. Even though the kitchen and bedroom are barely more than a 10-second sprint from one another, we don't dare do that. Any quick motion is basically just begging for our candle to go out, and I can't help but feel like running will provoke him. We inch our way towards the hall, and finally we have the same view of the bathroom that we had prior. I make myself look because I can't not, and if he's still there, I want to know, and nothing. I just see a dark bathroom and nothing. I think that was the most relief I felt all game, which is stupid because, as other players have mentioned, it seems like optimism is enough to draw him to you. I walk through the hallway and into my bedroom, and I can see the giant cylinders of salt sitting right in front of my computer monitor. As soon as I grab one of them, the room goes ice cold. All of my fucking rooms in my house that never gets cold, it's my bedroom. My bedroom is the hottest in the house due to my shitty insulation, and yet I suddenly have the urge to shiver. I turn around immediately with a salt shaker in hand and another under my arm, and fuck. 1:47 a.m. Two things immediately catch my eye. I don't see Ryan, who had been behind me up until the hallway to the bedroom. I do, however, see the glow of his candle coming from around the corner. I take a moment to wonder why he didn't come in to help me, since I only have one free hand due to the other holding the candle. I get my answer. The subtlest, most disturbing bob of a head to my left, right over my bed. I swear to you all, there was a figure sitting in the middle of my bed, and his head had just moved. Between the cold, the lack of Ryan near me, and now this man who is silently perched on my bed, I lose my shit. I run straight out of the door. My candle miraculously stayed lit, but I dropped the salt shaker that I'd had in my armpit, and I emerged with only one of them. I expect Ryan to get mad at me, but I round the corner and his eyes are so wide that I become startled again. Go, 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 he says right before his candle goes out. I feel awful for this, but I kept booking it back to the kitchen, turning around as soon as candlelight reappears from beyond. I don't know how long it took him, but it definitely didn't exceed 10 seconds. I try to apologize to him and he tells me that in all honesty, he would have done the same. 1:50 to 2:30 a.m. We decided to basically avoid the east part of the house since both times of seeing him involved him in the bathroom or bedroom, and the living room was where my candle had gone out the first time. We also discussed the salt shaker situation, coming to the mutual decision that if one of the candle fails, that person will circle themselves and give the shaker to the other person to continue on. At this point, that happening is my biggest fear. For Ryan's candle to go out, him have to plant himself in the house, and me have to go traversing on my own for the rest of it. Even though we had a 40-minute period of absolutely nothing, there wasn't a single ounce of relief to come with each passing minute. Relief felt like weakness to me, and the weakness felt like something the Midnight Man would see. 2:30 to 2:40. We decided to go into the Florida room for the first time all night. It extends so long across the house that I feel like there are so many chances to see him just lurking. But I feel like staying in the kitchen and garage and dining area is going to do us in. So we enter. We have a tiny bit of light coming through the terrace windows from the streetlights on the avenue next to ours, but it is barely aglow. This room is still very, very much dark, and we do the only thing we can think of. Pace up and down it slowly, hoping that the last hour or so will go well. 2:45 a.m. Now, if you look at the pictures, you'll see that there's a futon at one end of the room. Ron and I sat on it to rest for just a few minutes since we'd basically been on our feet since midnight. Like an idiot, I let myself get hopeful at what time it was, how we would be done with this nonsense in a really short period, and how we survive the mid... Oh my God, he's right fucking there. I look up and see the blinds parted just a smidgen, and before I even look up and see the darkened figure, I get off the bed and dart straight ahead. I run to about halfway through the room, and in the most terrifying second of my life, something comes crashing down on me. My overactive imagination can only assume one thing. The Midnight Man materialized through the glass slider and pounced on me like a fucking hunter from Left 4 Dead, but after a second or two, I realize that what's on me is flat and scratchy. Ryan shouts out from behind. At first, I assume it's because he saw me get hit by the chunk of ceiling that had just swiped the side of my fucking head, but no, his candle's gone out again. Still holding mine, I turn, a great deal of pain still in my mind, to seeing booking it towards me. Light your candle, I yell, but he doesn't respond to that. I notice now that he isn't even holding his candle anymore, but the salt shaker. He does something that I'd never even thought of. He starts to pour salt around the both of us, an amorphous boundary that seems to connect just fine, and it's absolutely huge. Even though I have a lit candle, I'm inside of it with him, and his face looks absolutely horrified. I have a brief terror of, now I have to go play by myself for the rest of the night, which is followed immediately by a sudden realization. No, I don't. And I blow out my candle. 2:50 to 3:33 a.m. I almost don't even want to talk about this part. the first thing my mind conceives upon blowing out the candle is that I made a really fucking stupid decision. This is followed by reminding myself that I'm already in the salt circle. And Ron even says to me, good, good. I'm really glad you did that. The two of us are just sitting on the floor. The salt border honestly looking like more of an acorn than a circle, but there aren't any gaps. We sit and there's nothing but complete silence. My pupils are still getting cozy with the idea of dilating after my candle time, but I swear I'm seeing movement over on the futon where we had been. I don't ask Ron to turn and look with me. I just want it to end. Throughout the nearly three quarters hour we spent that cramped salt acorn, we both got chills at completely separate times. I heard a whisper. No, 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 no. Like a mantra for about 30 seconds. And when I look at Ryan to comfort him, I'm horrified to see that he isn't the one saying it. By the time the watch hit 3:33, we hadn't moved. We didn't leave the damn thing until 3:40. Both slowly and silently, we got up and turned on every single light in the house. The afterword of this whole experience, I went to the bathroom to see what kind of a mark that ceiling piece had left. And as you can see, the piece of the ceiling that fell was clearly part of an already deteriorating room. The rest of the ceiling had fallen that summer, but there was no activity back there since. The fact that another large chunk would just fall as we were playing the midnight game right after seeing him and right as I'm underneath, it is staggeringly horrible. It has been a few days, so it isn't nearly as bad as it was. I've had horrible nightmares the past two nights. Horrible. People I know and places from my childhood, they'll be talking to me normally and calmly, and then suddenly their eyes are pupilless and their tongue is wagging, almost as absurdly creepy as the original Evil Dead, only realistic in a way that I can't and will not describe. None of my dreams have involved the Midnight Man, but I can't help but feel like I lost. We shouldn't have shared the same salt circle because that would never verify it as workable in the rules. I shouldn't have blown out my fucking candle myself, even if I was in the circle. The circle was, as said, barely a circle. How the hell have past players managed to do a circle in the dark? I don't know if I'm being tormented or if I'm just paranoid. Ron and I spoke the next day and he had a nightmare as well. But his had to do with drowning and being resurrected and drowning again. I haven't spoken to him yet today, so I don't know if he had another bad dream tonight. Don't play the midnight game. Nothing about it was worth it. Update. I've taken promethazine and melatonin capsule. I'm getting sleepy and I'm really not sure what to expect. I know that I'm scared and I'm glad that I was able to at least share all of this with you guys. I should be good to update in the morning. Thanks all. I'm feeling as hopeful as one can be in this situation. Basically, he's still having nightmares and is not sure if he is safe. So, that was...
I probably would be, too.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, that would scar me for life.
Seeing that figure on his bed and, oh my God, like, I've still got chills from that. Let's see. We have another one. I don't think it's as long, though.
That would scare the shit out of me.
That's terrible, right?
Yes.
Let's see. I'm looking to see. Yeah, this one's not as long. But they do go through the times. So... I'll start right here. I won't go through the whole thing about getting all the supplies and stuff. It was almost midnight and we had all of our stuff ready. And the only thing that was difficult was getting the blood, but we manned up and got some. As it was about to turn midnight, we stepped outside and began the ritual. As we lit our candles, I noticed I forgot my paper with my name and blood upstairs in the house. I have a massive house and the pitch black was not only ominous, but almost unbearable. As my friend and I ran to go get it, I heard a noise from outside. Considering my friend had a piece of paper with his blood and full name on it outside, we hurried back out to where we find that everything was left where we left it. Relieved, we continued through the ritual and began the midnight game. 12 a.m. We began the midnight game and started cautiously walking through the house. My house is massive, and the darkness seemed to swallow up everything. Having a friend with me made things far less scary, and debunking things was easy. Nothing much happened initially. We continued to walk around for a while without any trouble. 12:45. After about 45 minutes of walking, we had not seen much. Silhouettes were debunked as furniture, curtains, and the game seemed to be losing its edge. I was expecting more from this. 1:15 a.m. My friend and I both saw a silhouette at the end of a long hallway. There was no furniture there and nothing that could have explained it. We sat down on a couch and decided to wait a while before moving anymore. Fuck, the no staying in one place rule. We wanted our backs to the wall and to be able to see everything around us. 1:20. My dog entered the room, apparently just awoken. I beckoned her over to us to comfort us and to serve as a sentry in case anything was actually there. She looked up at me, and as I felt the air drop in temperature and a sudden wave of goosebumps hit, she started to shake. You know how dogs shake off water from their fur? She was doing the exact same thing, except there was no water. She did this for at least 5 seconds, and the unexpected motion caused me to angle my candle in the wrong way, making wax not spill on me, but also douse the flame. Luckily, my friend's candle was still on, but the decrease in light made things much worse. I fumbled for a match and relit the bastard in around 30 to 60 seconds. It was a long, skinny candle, and lighting it was much more difficult than it should have been. I didn't know if this meant I lost the game, but seeing as I hadn't started hallucinating, I thought I'd continue playing. 1:30 a.m. My friend and I explained the temperature drop as the air coming on from the vent right above the couch. We didn't have an explanation for the dog entering or shaking, but we decided we weren't going to be sitting anymore. We kept walking around, seeing more things, and being much more on edge. 2:30 a.m. After an hour more of walking, I experienced my first hallucination. Where was I? I know it was a hallucination because my friend didn't see it and I couldn't debunk it at all. Just typing it gives me chills. A woman stood in front of me, her back turned. She was about 5'3" and she wore a yellow dress and had shoulder-length red curly hair. I kept asking my friend if she could see her, but all he would say is, "See what? See who?" I kept staring as she slowly turned around to face me. I knew I should have looked away or blinked, but I couldn't. I was petrified. Once her face was fully visible, I almost fell over from all the blood rushing to my head. She was missing an eye, and where her eyeball should have been, some sort of hideous arachnid stood instead. Her other eye was still technically connected, but only by some pink stringy-looking tendon hanging down her cheek. I blinked, and she was finally gone. I told my friend that we were fucking done, but he insisted to continue playing. 3 a.m. It seems like things just get worse as the time progresses. I haven't seen anything near as bad as the first hallucination, but I continue to see weird things in my peripherals. My friend and I walk down where my dog is laying, and she is not sleeping, and just stand in the corner there for a minute. As we're about to leave the room, we hear the jingle of her collar as she stands up. Her eyes are sharply staring in the dark kitchen, and her ears are no longer floppy, but standing straight up. I'm afraid to look, and after 10 seconds, she lies back down, still staring in the darkness like she sees something. My friend sees movement in the kitchen, and we both immediately go upstairs to my bedroom, where I proceed to lock my door. I don't want to turn on the lights just yet, but we both vow to quit the game and turn on the lights if anything else happens. 3:33 a.m. For the last half hour, we have been deathly silent. We haven't seen anything unusual in my room, but dear God, have we heard things. Footsteps sound like they're coming from somewhere upstairs. I can't place where, but it's not in a room where any of my family members are sleeping or would ever visit at this time. I keep eagerly waiting for a flush so I can just laugh and say, oh, it must have just been my mom walking to the bathroom to pee. But nothing follows the footsteps but silence. And then more floorboards creaking. As the clock hits 3:33, I swear I can hear a high pitch laugh coming from below me. But I no longer care. I turn on the lights and immediately go to sleep. How do you immediately go to sleep after that?
I wouldn't be sleeping for a while.
No, we'd be watching so many cartoons. The nightmare I had was indescribable. All of my hallucinations were there, and the noises were everywhere as I lay crouched in the corner of a dark, musty wooden room, my hands over my eyes. I keep feeling them brush up against me, but I can't open my eyes to face them. I now wake up every night to this dream, and I still don't know what it means, but all I do know is that I lost. Somehow, I lost the fucking aim, and now every single fucking night, I'm met with either no sleep or a nightmare where I'm crouching in the corner as horrendous things touch me and walk around me, laughing with their raspy voices. I'm thinking of seeing a psychiatrist soon, but I had to get my story out first. I need advice. Do not play the midnight game unless you know you can win.
How do you know if you can win?
I mean, I really don't feel like you win when you play the midnight game, honestly.
How are you going to know for sure if you can, though, is what I'm saying.
I don't know. But also...
It's bad advice. My advice is don't do it at all.
Exactly, because in the rules, it says that you will probably leave with mental scarring. And it sounds like between those...
And if you have to give some blood, definitely no.
Oh my God, that's just crazy stuff right there.
Not some Sam and Dean.
Exactly. That's exactly what it makes me think of is supernatural, like the salt and the blood and stuff. But yeah, I mean, any kind of game that asks for blood and says that you may have some kind of trauma or mental disorder afterwards, don't do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just go to the grocery store. You'll get enough mental scarring.
Right. But yes, so to me... You know, with everything you do, the blood and everything, and you're inviting something into your house, y'all, you can't be sure that he's leaving. I mean, you aren't telling him to get out, really. It doesn't tell you to say,
or
okay.
Or if you want to do this, go to one of your enemies and play it there.
Well, the fact that this kid played while her family was asleep, I would beat Ashlyn. Y'all, I don't beat her. But you know what I mean. I would raise immortal hell if I found out that while we were asleep, she was upstairs summoning the Midnight Man to run around our house. Like, I would be so mad. So.
It's like Supernatural when that clown comes in.
Yes. That little girl just invites a clown in their house while the parents are sleeping. Yep. Are you old enough to know better? So, I don't know.
Obviously, people have never watched Pennywise.
This, the last time we did this one, I remember one of the stories the girl played, and she ended up sitting in her salt, and apparently, like, the rocking chair that she was near started rocking, and she wasn't very scared, but she told the Midnight Man, she was like, good game, sir, and, like, he was kind of nice, and I think he said, like, thank you or something and left, but, like, I don't know. I just, always good to have manners, I guess. But that is the midnight game. And, you know, everything that I've seen where people have played, they've always seen something. I don't know if it's your brain and your eyes playing tricks on you in the dark, but.
I think that has a lot to do with it, but still. That's just asking for something to happen.
It really is. But I do like in that second one how they were sitting there debunking everything. They were like, oh, well, there's a shadow because that there's a piece of furniture there. You know what I mean? I like that. But then they actually saw something where there was no furniture around them. But yes, every story I saw about the Midnight Man, it wasn't this is crap. Nothing's going to happen. Something always happened in it. So if you guys are up for the challenge.
Nope.
Go for it. But yeah, that was it, y'all. If you do decide to play, let us know. Send us a message on Instagram at Supernatural Smut Podcast.
Because we will not be.
We will not be playing it, but we will definitely read your experience on the air if you do decide to play it. And I would love to hear about it, and I know you would too.
Yeah, from somebody else.
Yeah, from somebody else, not us. We love learning about it, but we're not going to try it. So, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the story. It gave me lots of chills tonight. How about you?
Yes.
Yes. And we will see you guys next Sunday. Layer up, drink lots of water, and make good choices. Bye, y'all.
Deuces.